Hi, welcome to StanLib's weekly economic podcast. My name is Kevin Lings. I'm the chief economist within StanLib. The intention with these weekly podcasts is to unpack some of the key economic developments that have unfolded over the past week. And I think for this week, we need to focus on one key item, and that is the inflation data in the United States. Now, that doesn't mean there isn't other data that has been released recently that is worthwhile discussing. I think the recession in the UK, the recession in Japan, the near recession in Europe, all of those I think are worthwhile discussion areas. But the inflation numbers out of the US last week for January certainly surprised on the upside, and has led to a debate about, is the interest rate level that the US has implemented, is it at the appropriate level, or do they have to re-engage and start to move interest rates higher rather than signal necessarily that they're at the top of the interest rate cycle and that the next move is down? So I think we need to debate that in a bit of detail, and then we'll pick up on some of those other topics at a later stage. So the US released their January inflation data last week, and it surprised on the upside. Now, it wasn't a huge surprise, but certainly was enough of an increase to create some concerns in both the equity and bond market. Essentially, what happened was that headline inflation rose by 0.3% in the month versus an expected 0.2%, while the core inflation rate rose by 0.4% instead of an expected 0.3%. So both surprising on the upside, and what that did was it kept the core rate of inflation unchanged at 3.9%. And if you think 3.9% is almost twice the level of the inflation target of 2%. And that signals that the US is still not making near enough progress on getting inflation fully under control. And that at this stage, given that interest rates have been elevated for a significant period, that has to be a concern for the Federal Reserve. If we break down the data and look at what caused the increase, there were three areas that jumped out. The first was food inflation. That rose a bit more than expected, 0.4% in the month. I'm not overly concerned about it. Food inflation generally has been brought well under control in the US, and I think that it can be volatile from month to month, and I don't think we should read too much into one month's data. The second element, which is a concern, is shelter. Now, shelter has been way above its long-run average for a considerable time. At some point, it got to 8.2%. It's come down now to 6.1%. But shelter inflation at 6.1% is just way too high. And given that it's the single biggest component of the US inflation calculation, it matters hugely. You're not going to get the inflation rate down to the target of 2% unless you can bring shelter inflation fully under control. So shelter went up by 0.6% in the month. That's way above its long run average. That's also way above the recent increases. And it's difficult to understand where that's coming from. If I look into the data, there's nothing that jumps out as to what caused that. Overall, we can watch the private sector data, which continues to moderate. So it was a substantial surprise. Is it part of a reacceleration of rental inflation? Difficult to know that at this stage, but it's enough of a concern that it raises a whole lot of red flags about what is the outlook for US inflation from here. And at this stage, we're still trusting that the relationship between the official rental data and private sector data, that relationship holds, and that it holds with a bit of a lag. That lag is typically around about 10 months or 12 months. And what that suggests to us is that given that the private sector calculation of rental inflation in the US sits between 3.5% and 4%, that over time, the official rental inflation number will also move down to that sort of level, around about 3.5% to 4%. And if you think now it's still at 6.1%, that's a meaningful moderation. And if that moderation occurs, then US inflation overall will get within sight of the target, allowing the Federal Reserve to cut rates. So that's our base case, but clearly we have to be nervous about that. The third element of inflation that surprised on the upside was motor vehicle insurance. It rose by 1.4% in the month, and it's now sitting at over 20% year on year, a monster increase. In fact, it's the highest level of motor vehicle insurance inflation the US has ever experienced. And it appears to us that that's got a lot to do with catch-up post to the COVID environment. The industry got decimated during COVID. Many of those companies are trying to recoup some of those losses. They're in catch-up mode still. And that seems like it's going to have a negative impact on inflation for the next couple of months. It is a meaningful part of the basket, but I don't think it's a game changer in the sense of interest rates need to respond to that. But if we put the whole lot together, it's telling us that the inflation data in the US is uncomfortably high. And if you consider that the economy is still doing quite well, particularly the labor market, the Federal Reserve is under no pressure to cut interest rates, right? Even though they've signaled that they're at the top of the interest rate cycle. If you take the combination of still strong growth and elevated inflation that appears to be quite sticky, why would you consider cutting interest rates? So that's the first conclusion. There's going to be no early interest rate cut, and that you've got to look at interest rate cuts taking place later in the year. The second element is, I think, an internal debate the Federal Reserve will have, and that is, do we have to increase interest rates further? Is there the risk that inflation simply drifts sideways at the current level, that it's not in sight of the target? And if that's your conclusion, then you probably have to hike rates further, because inflation's not simply going to slow on its own, and that you probably need to do more from a monetary policy perspective. Now, that sort of view is not impacting the markets at this stage. It's not the accepted view. The accepted view is that the Federal Reserve will cut rates by June and then continue to cut rates during the remainder of this year and into next year. So it remains an outside risk. It's not our base case, but it's enough of a risk that we need to flag it, we need to monitor it. And I think in terms of my outlook for US inflation, the next 3 months are going to be critical. During those 3 months, we do expect that shelter inflation will slow meaningfully, and we also expect to see that the overall rate of inflation will be in the 2% range. It won't be back at target. That, I think, will take a little while longer. But I think if inflation is 2 point something by the middle of the year, that will open the door for an interest rate cut. But clearly, if they can't make that type of progress, then I think systematically market participants will have to deal with the idea of interest rates going high. So it's a critical phase, and I think that it's going to test the market's resolve. I wouldn't be surprised to see quite a lot of market volatility over the coming months as data is revealed. I do also expect that the Federal Reserve, in terms of their own domestic messaging, will try and caution people about becoming too enthusiastic around early interest rate cuts, or buying into the idea that interest rate cuts are a certainty. So an unfortunate set of numbers out of the US. I think it does raise some red flags, some concerns. I haven't changed my base case. I still expect an interest rate cut to start to occur in the US in June. But there are a range of data we need to monitor, and obviously we'll keep updating that on our weekly podcasts. So that's all from me from this week. Hope it makes some sense, and we'll catch up in a week's time. Cheers for now.